You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, the CSO has revealed earlier this week that the median house price in Dublin is €500,000. We need to talk to Zach about that the next time he comes in. So when buyers are paying that kind of dough, are they getting any sort of value for money, particularly when it comes to new builds? Well, our chief reporter, Barry White, joins us now. Hello, Barry.
Hi, Claire. Good morning.
So you and your partner recently bought one of these new builds. So a very straight question for you, was it worth it?
Yeah, so we bought a new three-bed house in Seven Mills in West Dublin in September. Moved in October, I suppose, like a lot of people, years of saving and searching, finally getting the keys was a huge relief. And look, to be fair, the house itself, it's excellent. It's spacious, energy efficient, warm, and very well finished. Inside the front door, we're happy. We're very happy.
Okay.
But when you step outside, it's a different story. For €500,000, you don't just expect four walls and a roof. You expect infrastructure. You expect transport links that work. You expect services to be in place. And that's where serious questions arise here. On the residents' WhatsApp group, public transport is a constant source of frustration. It has been ever since I moved in October. People are complaining constantly. Now, James Garza and his wife moved in, like ourselves, in October. And he says they feel they were sold a vision, but are living with the reality.
It's like a 5 to 10 minute walk to the train station, and it's easy to get into town. But, you know, when you're there in the morning to catch a train, particularly during rush hour, the train is full. So you're usually standing under someone's armpit or if you're able to get in. So I think that that's what's really difficult. And what was, I guess, for us was always the hope of, oh, they're going to build a DART line coming out here. And this is why they have limited parking spaces, because we have Fonthill and Khashoggi. And then it didn't happen. I mean, you saw that it did get approved. So we've made a huge life decision to move here based on a pretense of there's going to be great public transport.
Is there any regret that you made that big life decision?
At this stage, it is what it is, meaning there's nothing I can do about it. There's going to be 25,000 people living in this area. So if traffic is already bad now, what is it going to be like?
And if you walk around the development, there's lots of bus stops, but no buses.
Yeah, it's the fake bus stops. And I've actually seen people waiting, but no buses stop there.
When houses and developments, new builds and developments like this are being sold, do developers, estate agents, do they need to be more open and honest?
I would think so, yeah. They should say this is what's expected, but it could be down the road. I mean, this is a planned city, right? And they're saying 25,000 people. And just to get that in your mind, Kilkenny City, the Kilkenny, right, is 25,000 people. So that's a lot of people to put in a small space. And there's already problems with parking spots. I know that one of the things they said was like there'd be guest parking spots. I don't see any guest parking spots. I see people already that live here are struggling to park, to find a place to even park their own car. I mean, what's the closest shop to us here? You know, there's not one. The developer said that they are planning to build one. I don't see anything going up there yet.
Now, Barry, what exactly were the buyers promised? And how does that compare with what is actually there?
So, Clare, Seven Mills is being marketed as Dublin's newest town along the Grand Canal between Clondalkin and Lucan. Ultimately, 5,500 homes are planned. It's being presented not just as a housing estate, but a fully functioning community. Now, there was a full-page ad in the Irish Times earlier this week. It says the development is within walking distance of Clondalkin Fonthill train station. Technically, yes, but for many residents, it's a 20-minute walk. And when they get there, trains at peak times are often so full that people are left standing on the platform. If they do squeeze on, it's shoulder to shoulder. There's also a very reduced weekend timetable. The advertising also references Kishogue train station as being within walking distance. In reality, there is currently no direct access from Seven Mills to that station. And it's not known when there will be, so currently it's at least a 40-minute walk. And in a previous ad, the development was described as 20 minutes by car from Dublin City Centre. I drive by car from Dublin City Centre regularly. You might do it in a Formula One car.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't drive it in 20 minutes.
Breaking all sorts of laws if you were in your Formula One
car. You might do it
car.
At 3 a.m. on a bank holiday.
Okay.
But 20 minutes by car, I think, is misleading. It simply just doesn't reflect Dublin traffic conditions. So Claire, for some residents in Seven Mills, they're asking a very basic question. If services are struggling now, what happens when thousands more homes are built? And I've also been speaking to David, who moved to Seven Mills just 3 weeks ago. And he says the gap between what is advertised and reality is stark.
We have two train stations in the proximity. One of them has no access to it, so I have to go to the one further away. It's very difficult to get on board of a train. There's the cycleway along the canal, which is not the safest route. I wouldn't tell a young kid to cycle to school along the canal. The likelihood of getting mugged and being taken the bicycle is high. There's one coffee shop in the area. I mean, the houses are here, but nothing else is.
Do you think people bought the houses here expecting there to be more services sooner?
If you see the big billboard, it's advertised as a new neighborhood. This is not a neighborhood because it only has houses. There's nothing else. It's houses and a park. If you want to actually live, you need to go out of here. This is only a place where you can sleep. You can't do anything else here.
So you've basically no choice but to drive?
No other choice but driving, pretty much. You have to leave the place very early in the morning if you want to not stay sitting in your car for an hour to an hour and a half. So if you count here on the street, the number of parking spaces is smaller than the number of houses. There are houses with more than one car, so people will start fighting for a place to leave their car really soon. Some of them are already.
Look, people save for years, decades to be able to buy a house in a development like this. Do they deserve, do they expect better services when they buy?
I think they do. I think the average cost of what you see around here between houses and duplex is probably close to $500,000. It's a ton of money. Not everybody, unfortunately, not everybody can afford a house here. And I mean, I didn't only buy a place to sleep. I wanted to buy a place where I can live.
A place I can live. Now, Barry, you've been looking at other developments as well.
Yeah, Claire, I obtained a brochure currently advertising homes at City West Park in City West in Dublin. 3 beds, €520,000, and 4 beds for €620,000. So not cheap. The brochure prominently features images of the City West Hotel and City West Golf Course, presenting them as local amenities. But as we know, the City West Hotel is currently operating as an iPass centre, and the golf course has been closed for years. I actually did a Google search, and so I found that it was closed since 2010. So it's mm-hmm. It's not like it just closed recently. So buyers are effectively being shown amenities that are either unavailable or no longer exist. And at these price points, that raises serious questions about transparency and marketing standards. And Social Democrats housing spokesperson Rory Hearn says developers are doing this to inflate house prices. And he says the government should put a stop to it.
Yeah, I think it's hugely problematic because they are clearly misleading in what they're advertising. You know, what are developers trying to do? They're trying to maximize the money, the sale price they get for their house that they're selling. And so, of course, they're going to try and make it as it look as attractive as possible and sell dreams and sell, you know, what great life you're going to have when you move there. But clearly the reality that you're living, and so many people are living in new housing developments around Dublin, particularly the commuter belt as well, you know, as far away as, you know, Drogheda, different parts of the country, South Wicklow, even into Wexford, new housing estates, and people then are being told there's great transport links, but the reality is the transport links aren't there and they're stuck in traffic. The creches aren't there. The schools aren't there. For the developer side, I think it's unfair on people, you know, buying homes, saving so much, putting themselves in such debt, to be then going into estates, into places where they can't access, can't get access in terms of their work. They can't, even there's issues of estates been unfinished, issues around lighting, issues around the actual safety of the estate. I know people have been in touch with me around some of the estates where, you know, footpaths aren't finished. They can't let their kids out to play. So this is not unique, the situation that you're living in right now.
Who is to blame here, though? Because is it a case that developers are told to build, you know, a few hundred homes here, the government say we'll deliver X, Y, Z? Is it the government to blame? Is it the developers?
I think it's both, actually, to be honest. I think it's developers are wrong in terms of that. If they're advertising and the reality is the transport links aren't there, they shouldn't be allowed to do that. And I think, you know, the consumer protection need to look at that. I think that it shouldn't be allowed to essentially do such false advertising. And as I said, it's adding to house prices, which, of course, is what they want to do. But the other issue is it is government as well. It is the planning system. It is the investment in infrastructure. And as, you know, we were talking about there, for example, the government's own accelerating infrastructure report sets out we're 25% below the European average in terms of investment in infrastructure, and particularly transport is absolutely key, public transport. And what we've seen, and you know, I've criticised this before, is our housing model, our housing system is very much private developer led. And so they buy a piece of land, they start developing, they get the planning, they start developing on it, and then it comes later. The services often come later. It's a promise, you know. The commitment by government is, yeah, we'll put it in, but they don't actually put it in and people are left there. And so we have, you know, examples of, you know, the Dart extension, the South Plus West, we've, you know, the Lewis and Finglas in my own constituency, projects that have been delayed.
So finally, Barry, what are the developers and the government saying about this?
I contacted Cairn Homes to ask if they would respond to residents' concerns in Seven Mills. So far, there's been no reply. Hopefully they get back to this, and look, I'll let you know if they do. It would be interesting to hear from them, because is this the fault of the developers, or are they, you know, building thousands of homes and the government are saying, you build here, we'll deliver X, Y, Z? So it'll be interesting to hear from them. The Housing Minister, James Brown, says developers should be open and honest with buyers. But surely for people spending €500,000, many would argue that openness and honesty shouldn't be optional. It should be the bare minimum. Here's what Minister James Brown had to say.
Look, I can't speak for developers, but I think, you know, obviously any brochure should be reflective, be accurate of where those homes are going in. I think that's absolutely really important, that there's that kind of fairness in there in any brochures. So there is, and I think that's absolutely essential. So I would certainly be saying to developers that you have to be honest and upfront and forthright with people who are going to buy homes. But it's incumbent right across government that when we're providing the homes, obviously we have to also provide schools, community spaces, transport as well. All of these are essential for a growing city that Dublin is.
That's the Housing Minister, James Brown, ending Barry White's report.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.